We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Time for our weekly chat with Ben Maller of Fox Sports Radio. You can hear him overnights right here on 610 Sports Radio. And if nothing else comes out of this pandemic, Ben, in a positive way involving sports, we got rid of two preseason games.
Yeah, listen, Josh, I'm right there with you, man. The NFL should have done this years ago. They waited for an apocalypse to finally cut down on the exhibition games that they play. And I think this could be the start. You know, there's chatter that they might just get rid of all the exhibition games this year, that this is just a opening shot, if you will. But yeah, I mean, if you're going to risk it, and you know, why not just go into the regular season? Why even mess around with it? The fans don't like it. Not that they're going to even be at the games most likely in most places, but it just makes sense. It's unnecessary. You can tell in practice most of the time whether somebody's going to make your team or not. The exhibition games, most of them, I think we've been over this many times, they're played at half speed. So what's the point?
Yeah, and I think we've seen over the last few years, a lot of coaches have said those combined practices are getting more out of, if nothing else, than a preseason game. And I think it's like blatantly in their face now, too. You mentioned the games are at half speed and the fans won't be there. I think they can still gouge the fans for a couple of games. We may still see preseason games. This year they knew they weren't going to get the fans anyway, right? So it made it an easier decision.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a money grab, and if you're not going to be able to grab the money, and you know what's the point of it? It's not like the ratings are that great. I guess on network television they do pretty well, but still, it's unnecessary. And yeah, I didn't even think about that. I mean, it's bad enough when there's actually people, humanity, watching these games and a little bit of life, but to have an empty stadium and have like the seventh string guys out on the field, the first exhibition game, that does not seem like a recipe for success as far as I'm concerned.
The NFL got to take some news this week as well with the Cam Newton signing finally happening and then going to a place where I think if you told us at the beginning of free agency would have been his destination, we'd all went, oh yeah, that makes some sense. You of course used to, do a lot of stuff in Boston and cover the Patriots and their crazy fans. How do you think, one, they're handling getting Cam Newton, and two, how it'll work?
Yeah, well, I think people are excited in Boston from my friends talking to them back there. That they're excited. I mean, the Patriots have done nothing getting players that you've heard of this offseason, and really, you know, it's been several years since they've really made a big splash in free agency, and so – yeah, I mean, Cam Newton on the surface, you're like, this guy's a name. We know who he is. We all talk about him. He does interesting things. He does unique things. He's got bohemian tendencies as a quarterback, and so it makes for interesting conversation on the radio. As far as how it's going to work, though, Josh, I'm skeptical. There's a good chance that this doesn't work out. The Patriots have nothing invested in Cam Newton compared to – what a regular starting quarterback would make. They took a flyer on him, and if he looks good, maybe they'll let him start. But I wouldn't put it past Bill Belichick if Cam Newton goes out and pukes all over the field in training camp, that they just say, all right, you know, it didn't work out, and we'll put Jared Stidham in there. Because they've been grooming him. They've been selling him. Maybe it was all a pack of lies, but they've been saying a lot of great things about Jared Stidham. And you know, this goes counter against that by putting Cam Newton in. So I think there's about a 40% chance he doesn't even make the team in New England, Cam Newton. So it'll be fascinating, though. It's going to be fun to watch from afar and see how this plays out, with, especially with Belichick, who, you know, he's, let's face it, he's a hard ass. And Cam Newton's a guy that likes to do his own thing. So we'll see if those guys can be on the same page.
Is your skepticism based on injury? Or,
well, yeah, I mean, yeah, I think Josh, I mean, he's been bad. I mean, Cam, you know, he's far removed from the MVP season. I think this is the last, I think it's the last 18 games. It kind of goes over two or three years, parts of 3 years. He's got a passer rating of like 86, which is mediocre. That's not anything to get excited about. And his biggest weapon has always been his ability to run over smaller defensive players. And it seemed like he got away from that a little bit recently. And so if he doesn't have that in his repertoire, is he still going to be able to be a dominating player? I'm skeptical. And plus, we always hear like this stuff. I don't know how much of it's BS or not, about how difficult it is to learn the Patriots offense and all that stuff. So you toss that on top of the cake. But hey, I'm pulling for him because it makes it easier. Because if he makes the Patriots, you're guaranteed to have three or four blowups. Something's going to happen that'll be good for sports talk radio. So why not?
Ben Miller of Fox Sports Radio. You can, of course, hear him overnights here on 610 Sports Radio. It seems like over the last few days or so, I've heard more skepticism about the NFL starting. You've heard a couple former players and analysts kind of seemingly getting a little more, maybe not as bullheaded about the NFL's going forward. The NFL's going forward. Are we seeing the NFL? And then we have the preseason games, right? Are we seeing the NFL hit the pause button a little bit?
I'm not of that mindset. I'm in the minority, though, Josh. I mean, it seems like you're right. There's a grassroots movement to ban anything sports-related, and it started up again. And, you know, I realize the cases are going up, but I think you have to look at more than just that. You have to look at the fatality rate. You have to look at hospitalizations and things like that. And I'm not of the mindset you have to shut everything down. I think we're going to have to adjust. You're going to have to live with that, and people are going to continue to get sick. But as far as the sports world, yeah, I mean, I'll say something positive on the overnight, and I'll get a bunch of messages. Oh, you can't say that. We're going to shut everything down. We don't need sports. I'm like, you realize sports in America is an $84 billion industry, professional sports. This is not some nothing operation. This is a major industry. And it's part of the backbone, whether you want to admit it or not. You say it doesn't matter. It's just a bunch of guys playing a kid's sport. It's an $84 billion business. This is not nothing that you just throw away. And if there's a way to make it work and you take all the precautions you can make, then and do it. And I'm all for it. And it sounds like the leagues are going to try to do it. And they're going to ignore everyone screaming, shut it down, shut it down. And I think that's the right way to approach it.
You need no better example of it's the sports is a business than the report that came out that the NBA was spending $150 million to set up Orlando to play. And it got me thinking like, well, then how much are they making if they spent a $1.50 to just to get this tournament going? You know that the return on investment is very, very high.
Well, those personal chefs and those masseuse don't work for free at Disneyland there in Disney World in Orlando. But yeah, I mean, listen, the money that's out there, the TV money from TNT and ESPN / ABC is humongous, and it affects everyone. And not only does it affect this year, and you say, well, the economics don't matter. Well, I think they do matter. I think that's part of the equation. Maybe they don't matter as much as other things, but it would affect future salaries going forward if they don't get that money. So there's the trickle down economics on that. I have no idea. You know, I could use Mahler math, which is basic math, and try to figure it out, but you're right. If it's 150 million, they got to be making what? 400, 500 million on top of that, that they've got in the bank. So it's a ridiculous amount of money.
Speaking of the NBA, I think this bubble tournament sets up perfectly for a great sports talk debate for the end of time. I think the Lakers will win this upcoming tournament. LeBron will get another title, and we'll all be able to argue whether or not it was a real one until the end of time.
All right. Now Josh, I'm a card-carrying Laker hater, so I do not want to see LeBron win a championship. It is the year of the Clippers. Kawhi Leonard is made for social distancing. He is made for no fans. He doesn't like people. And it's perfect because the Clippers, you know, they're the ugly red-headed stepchild of L.A. and all that. They've been very good over the last, like, decade, but, you know, they don't get any, you know, no respect, right? No respect. But if they win, think about it. They win the championship. They don't have to worry about a parade because you can't have a parade. So you don't have to worry about that or any of that other stuff. It's made for them. It's absolutely made for them. So I'm going with the Clippers. But you're right, Josh, as far as the argument. And I saw Giannis Antetokounmpo and Malone, the coach of the Nuggets, who's like, this is going to be the toughest championship to win. And I don't agree with that. It's tough, but the hardest things in basketball, and you know this, Josh, is, you know, we all know it from watching the NBA, the two toughest obstacles to overcome are having to win on the road, the environment there, the travel in the NBA, especially the finals, if you go to the East Coast, the West Coast, all of those obstacles are gone now. It's a neutral site, and you assume the officiating is going to be a little more even because a lot of officiating is just based off the reaction of the crowd. So it's going to be difficult, but it's not going to be the hardest championship of all time in a watered-down environment in Orlando. I'm not buying.
Ben, enjoy finishing the first season of The Floor is Lava, and we'll talk to you next week.
I love it. It's a flashback. Thank you, Josh.
Ben Maller, Fox Sports Radio. You can, of course, hear him overnights right here on 610 Sports Radio.
You're right about The Floor is Lava, too. Way too much talking going on there.
Good concept. If you
just
haven't seen the show,
play the game
on Netflix, but the host guy talks too much. And by design, I'm not saying he's like Gabby about it, but they're like, they over explain the game. And
well, they try to give you like all this backstory too, so that way you're like
all
rooting
the clues. It's like, just play the game.
That first episode with the triplets on there, oh god, I hated those dudes. I was so happy when they lost.
Yeah, so that's one of those shows that you can watch with the kids, you know. I'm always looking for like those types of shows. I feel like Netflix has a big gap. There's adult and there's little kids. And there's not enough family
like
stuff.
Questionable stuff.
Yeah,
in the
so it's like, give me some game shows or what have you that can, you know, we can watch together. So Floor is Lava is one of the ones we watch. But it's, yeah, the guy just talks, just explains the game 14 times and shows all the routes around the room, whatever. It's like, just play the game.
I learned probably a couple years ago that I can't just trust the ratings anymore. I let my kid watch like a PG-13 movie and I came in and I was like, oh, my goodness,
yeah.
I can't believe
whoops.
You're saying these
yeah.
things.
Yeah.
My kid's seven.
My goodness, college sports. Now we were doing, baseball for us. College sports. My goodness, what a mess next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
Back in, thanks to Ben Maller, Fox Sports Radio. He joins us Thursdays at 7:15. You, of course, hear him overnights right here on 610 Sports Radio. College football, college sports in general. There are a lot of times they're like, man, I'd love to be a fly on the wall. This is not one of those instances. I do not want to be a fly on the wall in any of these meetings that are going on around college athletics right now.
Hard pass.
This would be atrocious because they're going on. People are talking all over the place. What are you doing? What do you think we should do? Here's the contingencies. Here's the SEC commissioner come out and say, oh, yeah, we got 15 to 20 contingencies for the season. And that's just the consensus ones, let alone everybody's individual opinions on things. Yesterday, a piece in USA Today by Dan Walken, college football writer. Who spoke to
Chris's brother?
Christopher, yes, Christopher Walken's brother. I can't do a. Do you do a Christopher Walken? I don't. I do. I'm always willing to do a bad impression, no. But I can't do. I can't do a Christopher Walken. I can only get like Jeremy Stewart.
what?
Dan Walken. Not great.
Can't get it out of your head now.
Can't get it out of my head now.
Hello.
Yeah. he spoke to a bunch of administrators and getting their honest assessment, he says, under the condition of anonymity, because no one wants to put their name on it right now, right? But that the level of uncertainty over the last week or so has grown and that the next couple weeks, very, very crucial to determine whether or not we're going to have college football at all. There was some optimism that they could start and finish on time, much like the college campus openings. They're like optimistic. We're starting school a couple weeks early in the college ranks, ending around Thanksgiving for a lot of them, to hopefully beat the second wave. And college football was optimistic maybe they could be in that camp. And now suddenly, according to Watkins' piece, there's a lot of people saying, I don't know if it's going to work. We might have to put this off. Spring isn't out of the realm of possibility. Starting a season, not finishing the season, not out of the realm of possibility. Conferences going off on their own and starting a season, while others do not, could be a possibility. That if conferences could go, then they're just scrapping non-con, and they're just going to play each other and go. But not all conferences may be ready to go. Different states might not be ready to go. The level of concern about teams contracting coronavirus. LSU, Clemson, K-State, all among those that have drawn from around the rest of college football. Meanwhile, Penn State's athletic director, Sandy Barber, speaking as well this week, still says that the spring would be the last resort.
We all know it. We started talking about the spring in March. and at that time, we were far more pessimistic than we were 4 weeks ago. And I think even more pessimistic than we are today. I think there are lots of challenges. It would be a last resort. And I think one of the biggest challenges, and it's probably the biggest one in my mind, is the proximity to then the next season. And frankly, a second lost spring ball.
Sounds like Sandy's not looking forward to the challenge.
No. So they started talking about it in March, and she giggled. And you're like, yeah, you started talking about the spring in March. That makes sense. But the next
spring,
they were talking about in March, they were already thinking about what's going to happen the next spring. I mean, I don't care if you miss spring football or not. I mean, it's – come on. but if they're going to eventually go back
– I mean, come on.
You know, it's like my worry wouldn't be, hey, let's move the regular season to spring because if we do this, we might lose spring ball.
Oh my God.
I mean, you're playing real games. Who cares? But I think the other logistics are a mess, though. I mean, moving games, getting your television partners on board. I think all those things have a huge dynamic that would be an absolute mess. Trying to slam all of the sports basically in the spring semester. At every campus and every television network and all the things that you're doing and all the logistics would be a mess. So that would be indeed a last resort from that perspective.
College football is just an absolute hot mess right now.
But again, the biggest problem, no overseeing body. And if you are to believe that there is a second wave, are you going to get it in anyway? And if you're not ready to start and you don't think you can finish, this is a question for all the leagues, and you don't think you can finish, is it worth starting? And I think from college athletics, especially, because I know it's a business too, but it's not a business for the guys that are playing and the gals that are playing. And I don't agree with putting all of those athletes out there to make a buck that ain't their buck. There's incentive for a Major League Baseball player to go out and play 60 games. There's incentive for an NFL player to want to play a complete season. There's still no incentive for a college kid other than, hey, man, you might lose a year of your college experience.
Like, they do realize that, like, the NCAA as a whole, are you're getting dangerously close to, like, just being like, yeah, they're employees. Fine, we'll pay them. Like, if that's – because that seems to be what they're starting to realize right now is that – And this isn't breaking news for anyone. They've always realized it,
but they're close to having to admit it.
Yeah, that's what makes you your money, and like you have to finally say, okay, we got to make money. That's why we got to get these students back. Well, you can't force all the rest of the students to come back, so you're going to have to get really dangerously close to admitting something that these are your employees.
Something that you've been trying for a long, long time not to admit.
Just took Corona to find
and
it happen.
Various people I've talked with as well. Seems like there's various opinions, no matter who you talk to. Some are pretty optimistic that there's going to be a season. Others are like, I don't know if there's going to be.
There's zero chance this happens.
They for sure are not going to be on the same page. And then there's this. If you believe baseball's commissioner, Rob Manfred, he appeared on the Dan Patrick Show. And in terms of baseball, he says they were medically advised to finish their regular season by the end of September to hopefully beat a spike.
Everybody has certain things that you accept as really good advice. One of the pieces of advice we received early on from the medical experts, the pandemic experts that we've been working with, is that by the end of September, the risk of another spike and a shutdown was going up dramatically. Given that, one of our guiding principles, we were going to finish no later than September 27th, which was the scheduled date, and we were going to play the postseason on its normal calendar.
Okay, I got to take him at his word here. But I know for sure television didn't want them to extend either, because they're thinking football. They had schedules they needed to juggle. So you can say that there was a medical reason for it. I think there was a bigger television reason for it.
Well, and you'd also have
to be the case. So, but if you believe the medical side of it, then if they're being told end of September, look out for October. Well, when's the meat of college football? October. Yeah,
that could be problematic.
September into October, you're getting the meat of the college football calendar. Does that make any sense to be doing that then? The NFL obviously plays a little bit longer, but they'd be going in October as well. We're not hearing these things necessarily for dire October. So I think there's a fear of it, yes, but there's also, I'm going to take the grain of salt, being your television partners also said, hey, we don't have the window for you guys to be screwing around with a November postseason.
Well, you'd assume that they would be getting similar or somewhat similar type of advice from medical professionals, right? Like, I mean, infectious disease experts seem to be in somewhat of an agreement about how the direction of this is going to go. Now, there's still obviously a lot of uncertainty. That's usually the caveat before the explanation of what they think. Like, well, we don't really know, but comma. Here's my opinion, right?
Yeah.
And so I think that right now, you know, and granted, the NFL, when Fauci said, I don't think, you know, it's going to happen this year, the NFL's like, well, that's not what our doctor said. Shut up, Fauci. Like, I do think that they have to be getting somewhat similar information, though, right? Like, someone has to have at least whispered in their ear and said, hey, just to play devil's advocate real quick, that whole second wave thing that some are projecting, like, you know, that's going to be like right when you want to start your season. I don't see that working out for you. And it seems like they're doing a lot of busy work right now to ultimately have it go for naught. Like, you're just trying to figure out how you can do something, and it turns out you're likely not going to be able to do it at all. You're just wasting your damn time right now. Start thinking about how you're going to get it back in the spring.
More from the commish on the baseball side, who says it was much ado about nothing. Next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
The Royals' five-year reunion show, I'm calling it, coming up at 8:30 today. We'll recap the best of the best from our chats with all the members of the 2015 Royals.
So the after party?
That's coming up. Yeah, it's kind of like the after party.
I think that we should have gone with after party.
Well, I like reunion.
Five-year reunion after party?
The reunion. It's the reunion of the reunion.
Huh.
We reunited and then we'll reunite again one final time coming up at 8:30.
And it felt so good.
NFL is going to trim the preseason from 4 games to 2 games. I don't think there's anybody that goes, oh, darn. Expected to make it official today or as soon as today, so we'll see. It'll require some shifting of games. We'll play one game at home, one game away is the plan. And if the reports are true that they were going to delay the first preseason game and then trim the last one, they were going to play weeks 2 and 3 of the preseason. Require a little shifting of the schedule. Chiefs are slated to be on the road for both the second and third preseason games. So presumably they're going to get one home, one away. I'm guessing they'll condense travel scenarios as well. Maybe shift who you're playing to have a little closer destination. So we'll see if that is something that happens before the weekend or not. But reports are from four down to two. Meanwhile, 60 is the number in baseball, right? 60 regular season games ahead. Took a lot of work to get there, right? A lot of negotiating to get to 60, or really force 60 at the end of it all, when they couldn't get to a real negotiation. Players, of course, wanted more from the get-go, but they wanted to get fully paid. Owners were okay with playing more, but they wanted partial payment to the players. And we had the back and forth, ended up with 60. As the commissioner mandated the 60 games we're going to play, here's the schedule. Rob Manfred telling the Dan Patrick Show, 60 was always going to be the max.
Look, I think the most important thing to our fans is that we're going to make every attempt to get the game back on the field. You know, I know some people have talked about longer seasons, 60 too short. The reality is, we weren't going to play more than 60 games, no matter how the negotiation with the players went or any other factor. 60 games is the outside of the envelope, given the realities of the virus.
Okay, wouldn't it have just been better that they fully just said that from the get-go? I know you have to negotiate these things. And at the end, he mentioned the envelope and the virus, where he was throwing that term around very, very late in the back and forths, right? I heard that for the first time after he went and did that last ditch visit to Tony Clark down in Arizona. Then he'd mentioned, well, 60 based on the virus is about all we can do, blah, 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 blah. I don't know. Should the league just come out from the get-go and go, we got to play 60 is the max we can play? How can we make this work for you, the players?
I mean, it's astonishing that 3 months of bad faith negotiations occurred, and then Rob Manfred
we had the number all along.
And then Rob Manfred goes on a national show and says, well, I mean, it just re-solidifies the fact that there was no good faith that occurred at all in these negotiations. And there was no transparency that occurred whatsoever. Like, that was the biggest complaint about the players. Players wanted to see the books. Hey, you're claiming you're losing this much money. We don't believe that to be the case. Show me the books. And so it's just astonishing to me. And look, I get that there's a lot of money to be made, and Rob Manfred, his job is not to work for the players. That's Tony Clark's job. Like, Rob Manfred's job is to work for the owners, just like it is Roger Goodell's job and Adam Silver's job and Gary Bettman. That's his name.
I kind of
forgot Gary Bettman's name there for a while. Like, it's their job to work for the owners and in their interests. And you know, I think that if I'm a player in any of the leagues, and I've said this a couple times over the last few days, Kling, like, if I'm a player in any of these leagues, this has shown me more so than anything is, y'all don't really care about me. Like, and I think that Major League Baseball, while it has a lot of its own faults, the fact that their union is so strong and the fact that they have somebody that legitimately secures what's in their best interest for them, like the NFL, while their union has been able to bridge the gap sometime, like, it doesn't seem that they really have a strong hold on guaranteed money, on long-term contracts. I mean, you see people just turn and burn on guys all the time in the NFL. And now they're struggling to even get, you know, compensation post-retirement for any on the field types of injuries. Like, it's, if anything has shown me over the first, you know, 6 months of this season, if you're any type of athlete, is, man, you know what?
I don't believe them.
You need to start thinking about you first. And that's why yesterday when Chris Jones had that situation, I don't fault you at all, big man. You go right on ahead.
In terms of baseball, I said this from the early onset of this, when they seemingly couldn't get a number, and owners were like, oh, we can't make money doing this. Like, give them the number that you can make money on and fully pay them. Like, that was based just on money. What Manfred's saying was the parameters of coronavirus and the calendar that we were in, 60 games. Well, then why not just say that from the beginning? We have to negotiate 60 games. How can we make this work for everybody? Instead of dilly-dallying around about the number of games for 3 weeks, a month, whatever it ended up being, where you're just throwing numbers back and forth in terms of games. I was like, if 60 was the number, then just tell them it was 60. How is that so hard? 60's our number. Here's the health side of it. I feel like he's like fudging some of the health stuff to me. I don't know. It feels like the cut we played in the last segment as well, that, you know, they were told to end the season because of the medicals by this date. No, Fesco reported it. We've been hearing it. Television partners like, no, we need your season to end. We got other stuff on the calendar. We gotta get to you guys. There's a finite end to your season because of that. I feel like that's being fudged a little bit. Now I feel like this is being fudged. Like, oh, it's all going to be 60 because of coronavirus. Well, if that was the case, then tell your freaking players that from the get-go, like, we're only going to be able to play 60. There's no way we're going to be able to get back before the end of July, and 60 games is going to be our window. Let's negotiate. Now let's talk. What's it going to take to play 60? It was like, why would you bury that?
Well, and what you had said the entire time was, let's put a date on this. We need a deadline because deadlines force action. You're 100% right about that. And if you would have shared that information with the players and said, hey, here is everything that we're hearing. We're hearing that the season needs to end by September. We're hearing that we own that. And just let's just look at this chronologically. How many days do we have? How many games could you get in? How many days do you want off? Okay, that's the number.
That's the number.
And if it was shared up front, right?
Like, it feels like he could have got this done without all the...
Now, Manfred also did say that he didn't feel that they would be able to start spring training too until January or July 1 anyway, which I'm not necessarily... Like, basically, he went on Dan Patrick's show yesterday and said, yeah, we were going to have to wrap up when we were going to have to wrap up anyway. We were going to have to get the number of games.
Then why didn't you just tell them
and
that?
And, oh, by the way, we wouldn't have been able to start before
tell
today anyway.
Tell the players involved that for the get-go. Just
so
stupid.
So all this mentioned, yeah, no.
We weren't
losing the argument. We got exactly what we wanted. We got them right where we wanted them.
We're wasting all of our time. They're also wasting the players' time. It's stupid. Manfred says his biggest regret, not getting expanded playoffs.
We did get a suboptimal result from the negotiation in some ways. You know, we didn't. The fans aren't going to get an expanded postseason, which I think would have been good with the shortened season. And, you know, look, the players left real money on the table. They left $25 million worth of playoff pools, $33 million worth of salary advances. But that's what happens when you have a negotiation that, instead of being collaborative, gets, you know, into sort of a conflict situation.
Did Manfred know he was talking not just to Dan Patrick, but the Dan Patrick show?
Like, people were listening? Yeah, I know.
Because he just pretty much fingered your players again. Like, guess what you guys gave up? Ha ha. Dummy. Hey, dummies over there. You guys gave up a bunch of money. See what you left. Well, let's go ahead and create some animosity while you're at it, commish.
The 2021 CBA is going to be a train wreck.
Like, don't try to broker any kind of harmony. You know, we wanted the playoffs. The players didn't want the playoffs. And, boy, frankly, they left money on the table. Dummies.
A couple of the other bullet
I felt like he was, like, having a conversation with just Dan Patrick, like, off the record. And, like, no, we're on the air. We're on the air. You're telling everybody this. You had these dates and everything. Yeah, great. Yeah, I was optimistic, like, okay, it won't be a complete mess before that. It's going to be a complete mess before the next one. The next negotiate, bad, ugly. All those things, the doomsday are saying, yeah, I'm in on it. 2021 negotiations, yeah, baseball's going to mess this up.
You got to get started right now.
This might not be it. Next.
It pisses me the hell off.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.